Let's just pray together. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I knew that the theme for today would be light the way of love, like any good student, I thought I'd better start by defining my terms. So to misquote the band Foreigner, I decided I needed to know what love is. So I Googled it. Many of you will probably be familiar with the Love Is cartoons. They say things like, I don't know if we have them, love is not having to be reminded to take out the garbage. And love is someone to act goofy with. But I think these cartoons only really scratch the surface, and I find it more than a little unnerving that they're never wearing clothes. So I looked a bit further, and I found a survey where people had asked a group of 4 to 8 year old children what they thought love was, and I thought this came a little bit closer. So Johnny, age 4, said, "When a person loves you, they say your name different. You just know your name is safe in their mouth." That was quite nice. Jake, age 6, said, "Love is when a little old man and a little old woman are still friends even after they know each other so well." I love even after, not because, even after. And Andy, age 7, said, "Love is what is in the room on Christmas if you stop opening your presents and listen." Andy has been listening in church, I think. I think often, inside and outside of church, we confuse love with being nice. And being nice is very important, of course. I don't want everyone to go home with the impression that we don't have to be nice to each other. But by itself, it's not the picture of love that we get in the Bible. As we heard earlier, and as you all answered so brilliantly in the quiz, the prophet Isaiah was speaking into a situation where it was very difficult and painful. There was a lot of political unrest and uncertainty. We heard that the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, where Isaiah lived, were both surrounded by bigger and more powerful empires. Not the Empire Strikes Back, but the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians. And they were constantly in danger of being overtaken, destroyed, or thrown into exile. And instead of placing their trust in God, they turned away from God, and they placed their trust in the promises of politicians. The reading that we heard from Isaiah came at the end of a story of attacks and counterattacks and political alliances. And we hear that people's fear had made them selfish. Because they didn't know what their future would hold, they were determined to look after themselves as best they could. So although lots of the people still went to the temple and worshipped God and did all those things that they were supposed to, Isaiah tells us that they'd forgotten to look after the widow and the orphan, those people in society that needed their help. They took bribes, they cheated the poor out of their money, and they lied in court. That fear about what the future might hold had made them selfish and self-centered. We hear later on in the Bible that love, perfect love, has the power to cast out fear. But in Isaiah's world, fear seems to have cast out love. But Isaiah spoke up against that fear, challenging people, urging them to turn back to God and to change their selfish ways. In the reading that we heard from Matthew, we heard about Joseph's decision to stay with Mary after he found out that she was pregnant. before they were married. And I was thinking about his original plan, which I think probably falls into that category of being nice. He was planning to break up with Mary quietly, rather than telling everyone that she'd been unfaithful and making her an outcast. But instead, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and tells him to stay with Mary and to marry her because the child is a child of the Holy Spirit. And I think the next sentence is one of the most remarkable in the whole Bible. It's one that we sort of often gloss over. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. So simple, but so powerful. Joseph was called to go so far beyond just being nice. He was called to accept the possibility that he and Mary would be the object of gossip and of ridicule. He was asked to believe in Mary's faithfulness despite evidence to the contrary, and to raise a child that would save people from their sins. All this, and we're just told that he woke up and did as the angel commanded him. So what is love? Love can mean being a lone voice speaking out against injustice. It can mean saying things that will make people cross and uncomfortable. It can mean accepting burdens that we never expected to carry. It can mean opening ourselves up to gossip and ridicule. And when we start to think of love like this, and not just as simply being nice, then it all sounds rather scary and like rather a tall order, really. But then there's that verse in 1 John chapter 4 that we kept coming back to when we did that series a little while ago on what it means to live a generous life. We love because God first loved us. We love because God first loved us. There is nothing that God asks us to do that he has not already done for us. I love the liturgy that we hear in baptism services that tells us that for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered death on the cross and triumphed over death. All this for you, before you could know anything of it. In the Christmas story and all the stories that follow, we see God speaking out against injustice and saying things that made people cross and uncomfortable, and suffering people's anger, and opening himself up to gossip and ridicule and betrayal. We see God making himself vulnerable in the form of a tiny baby, all because he first loved us. Like Isaiah, we are living in difficult and dangerous times. Times when uncertainty about the future can make us feel afraid. And that fear has the power to make us selfish. We heard in the video from the Joint Public Issues team about some of the issues that are facing asylum seekers in the UK. About how in September 2016, almost 40,000 asylum seekers in the UK were entitled to support of less than £6 a day. Can you imagine trying to live on £6 a day? The poorest countries in the world are hosting the majority of refugees. And in 2015, the UK received only 3% of all asylum claims in the EU. And yet, people in this country are scared. We saw it in the EU referendum debate and in the conversations around the US presidential election. Uncertainty about the future can make us scared. And that fear can make us selfish. But as Christians, we are called to light the way of love. That love that 1 John chapter 4 tells us can cast out fear. The kind of love that reflects what God has already done for us. The kind of love that is willing to be vulnerable and rejected. Love that is willing to speak out against injustice. I believe that we are all called to be prophets, to speak the love and the truth of God into the very heart of society, and to share the Christmas story with those we meet, not just the story of the stable and the manger and the star, but the story of how God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that we might live forever. Amen.